The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the stuff you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's just stress and anxiety and worry that happens when that kind of alignment isn't there, or when you're not sensing that.
That's right, James. But that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
And when you're confused or scared, you simply aren't making good decisions.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. That's right. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to episode
25.
25. Mm-hmm. Yes, 25. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current events, so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then partway through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler.
Yep, your favorite part.
My favorite part, that's right, which is interesting to us, at least. We don't know if it's interesting to you or anybody else.
But we hope it is.
We hope so. That's right, and it ranks right up there for us.
So let's jump into our week in review, James. I'm sure I know, but what did you think was a financial news highlight or a big news highlight this past week?
Yeah, well, we're past the elections now. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a big deal. Everybody was...
And we all made it.
And we did. And we're still here.
That's right.
Wow, we're still here. But, you know, as of the day we're recording this, we know that of course, Mr. Trump and the Republicans took the executive office. So, mm-hmm. so we have a Republican president and the Senate. Of course, mm-hmm. Republicans took the Senate. And... we're not quite sure yet. I think there's still a couple to be called. It's really close, but we could have.
Yeah, we're still waiting for results in the House.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if the Republicans take the House, then we will have a trifecta.
That's right.
And so it'll be interesting. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago we talked about, or I think it was last week. Last week we talked mm-hmm. about presidential influence in, you know, throughout history and how presidents set policy and they set a tone and so on and so forth for the country and the economy.
And we went through some of the parts in history where there were big turning points, right?
Big turning points. Mm-hmm. That's right. So it will be interesting to see. I think, you know, Donald Trump is now one of two U.S. presidents who've successfully been elected for non-consecutive terms.
Him and Grover Cleveland.
That's mm-hmm. right. And I actually thought quite a lot of Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland was a Democrat, mm-hmm. and now you have a Republican. So you have one Democrat and one Republican who have now been elected for non-consecutive terms.
It's pretty rare.
That little bit of minutia mm-hmm. detail.
Just the election itself, I think there's been, about 60 of them in our nation's history. So
that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Well, so far the markets have reacted positively to the Republican win, but we really should not forget. It's easy sometimes to forget about big things, even though, you know, when there's big headlines
like
national debt.
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming up on $36 trillion.
And it didn't matter who would have gotten to office this last time. They were both had a budget proposing debt rising from what they wanted to spend money on.
That's right. So So no matter who would have taken, you know, the office, that party or that cabinet anyway would have to deal with this massive budget issue. It's just not going to go away.
And you said all-time high. That's across the board, right? Federal, state, local.
Local, yeah. Corporate America is like leveraged over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, somewhere along the way, if that's not an issue already, you know, it's going to rear its ugly head. To be a big issue, right? We've talked about that, and we'll probably continue to talk about that more as we go through coming weeks.
And that's something this administration is going to have to deal with.
It will. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if policy agenda that the Trump administration sets forth will be successful in dealing with that. You know, the first term in office didn't bring the debt down at all. We've been on this steady increase in debt for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
A long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make us wonder. Well, we'll keep tracking that, and we'll continue to watch economic indicators that assess the overall strength of the U.S. economy.
But I knew as Trump was running, he definitely laid out some ideas, right? Some mm-hmm. plans that he wanted for the economy. What were some of those?
Right. Well, in general, you know, he talked about providing, you know, tax relief, of course. I think he talked about like completely eliminating taxes on Social Security.
Over time. Tips and Social Security. Yeah,
that's right.
He even floated no income tax on a podcast that I listened to through the use of tariffs.
Right. So, that's right.
I don't know how serious it was, but it was definitely said.
You know, if you dig through history, there was actually a point in time in our country prior to the income tax mm-hmm. that the government was funded through tariffs.
Yeah, because the idea is if you want to come in and take our workers or manufacturing capacity, then that country will pay a price for that.
That's right.
And we'll benefit.
Now, arguably, though, I mean, at that point in history, the federal government was a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was easier
Not
to
this
fund.
Not the behemoth we have today.
That's right. So it'll be interesting to see how exactly that policy proposal plays out in coming weeks, months, and a couple of years.
So what about bond prices? We know that the stock market was doing well. How about bonds?
Yeah. So, you know, again, we know the Fed cut rates, 50 basis point cut. We're here on a Thursday.
That was September, right?
That was in September. Mm-hmm. That's right. Just a month and a half ago now. And but here we are. Here we are on a Thursday afternoon, and it sure looks to me like the Fed is going to cut rates again, probably this afternoon.
Okay.
But we won't know that until after we're finished recording this session. But the Fed cut rates, and interestingly, bond yields did not follow suit.
Hmm.
So
why is that?
Well, you know, bonds have sold off, and looks like bonds are continuing to sell off. It's important to remember when you think about this thing called the yield curve and you have near-term rates, the federal funds rate, of course, the Fed controls that rate just by making policy decisions. But the market controls yield.
Mm.
So when you start working your way out the yield curve and you get into like, you know, 10-year maturities, 15-year maturities, and 20-year and so on and so forth, really those yields are driven by a market perspective on what investors are anticipating when they have their money loaned out, which is what you have when you have a bond, over long periods of time, right? So if I expect that I should be getting a higher yield for my money, then I'm going to be looking for a lower bond price.
Hmm.
Did I answer the question?
Yeah,
I feel like I rambled a little bit.
Nope. And you said that, you know, you have a feeling that the Fed might cut rates again, but how do they do that without sparking another uptick in inflation?
Well, that is the arm wrestling match that's going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
If it was only that easy.
That's right. But it's interesting that rates are not the same as stimulus.
Mm.
Right? So rates make it easier to borrow money, but rate changes don't actually increase or decrease the amount of money supply. So, you know, M1 and M2 is whatever's known as money supply, and the Fed can cut rates, but that doesn't really increase the amount of money that's out there in the system. It just makes it cheaper for businesses and people to borrow.
Well, I know you said that there are four questions that the Fed has to face. Walk us through that a little bit.
Just, you know, first, I think, does the election lead to meaningful changes in economic demand or inflation that would warrant a different policy path than the one that's currently being followed?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just talk and debate about that, right? But that's one question. Secondly, I think, you know, everyone's really looking at whether or not the current jitters in the jobs market deterioration, like, has that been overstated, or is it a real thing? Unemployment in September was 4.3% officially, and that was up from 3.7% in July. So, you know, so that's going to be a question that the Fed has to face. Third, of course, where is inflation headed?
Yes.
Right?
Something we've been talking about a lot lately.
Now, CPI increases have been slowing, but slowing is not the same as going away.
That's right.
So
it's like going from 65 miles an hour down the road down to 45.
That's right.
But you're still cruising.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just not as fast. And fourthly, what is the right level for rates anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a
64,000 part of that arm wrestling match,
right? How does anybody determine quote the right rate? That's another topic that we could probably spend a whole segment sometime just talking about how the Fed came up with a 2% rate target to begin with. So those are four questions that I think the Fed is really going to have to be working through as they think about how much and how often to change rates in the future.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left or so. Real quick, what about on the face of it with reducing taxes? Would that seem to add to the overall deficit and debt of the country?
Well, on the face of it, absolutely. You know, because if you cut taxes, then you have less revenue coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the real thought process is that if taxes are cut, then possibly there's more productivity because more money is in hand of the private sector to be productive.
Sure.
And if productivity rises sufficiently,
more money coming in for the government.
That's right. So you cut taxes, you allow that productivity to occur, and the increase in productivity results in more taxes.
Oh, great. That was a big week.
It was a big week. A lot of stuff going on. That's right.
Hey, we're all out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our supporters. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James, and my trusty partner is actually out of town this week, so I'm seeing if I can cover this on my own. Nobody tell Eric I said that, okay? But, you know, if you or someone you know owns a business and wonders how their state income tax dollars might actually be able to benefit a charity, mm-hmm. a charitable cause, really, at the same time, then stay tuned. Because what we're going to be talking about today is, I think, a well-kept secret here in central Pennsylvania. And it just falls right in line with the whole theme of money in mission. My guest today here is Joel Giovanetti. Did I say that right, Joel?
You did, James. Thank
Joel,
you.
Joel Giovanetti. And you are with New Hope Ministries, right?
I am, yes. Yeah. I've been with New Hope Ministries for many years. I've worked in the youth program department. The last 6 years, I've actually worked in the development department as a gift officer, a fundraiser.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, you know, let's talk about what New Hope Ministries is doing. And, you know, for our listeners, we really want to understand. We said how, you know, state income tax dollars could sort of double up as a charitable gift. So what exactly are we accomplishing on the charitable side?
Yeah. Well, first thing I want to say is that New Hope Ministries, we're a Christian social service agency that shows the love and hope of Christ by serving our neighbors in their times of need and supporting their efforts towards stability. And so helping our neighbors in need, there are a lot of individuals and families that are struggling financially. We do know that just the food and basic needs that people have, the cost of food has just gone up, James, tremendously the last few years. And so,
for our listeners, if you listen back, on the podcast here, we've talked about inflation and the impact of that. And, you know, we'll probably talk more at the risk of being a broken record, right? But it drives the cost of those basic necessities that people...
Yeah, and so that's the draw of why individuals, families come to New Hope, is they're hungry. The cost of food is so expensive. And so New Hope has food pantries at our centers. And so we help feed people. Mm. And with that, they meet with our center staff to find out what are those obstacles, those barriers that is causing them not to have enough money, not to be self-sufficient, to be stable. And so we look at their finances. We have budgeting classes, dollars and cents classes to help them be able to budget. We also help find them if they need a good paying job. And James, not just a job, there are numerous jobs out there, but a career. Recently, I was talking to one of our center managers, Alyssa, at our Mechanicsburg Center, and she shared with me that there was a family of six that was homeless that came into New Hope. And New Hope, of course, fed them. And as Alyssa met with the mother, we were able at New Hope to pay for a CDL license so that she could become a truck driver. That's what she wanted to do. And recently she got a job, James, as a truck driver and is able, as a single mom, to support her family of six in a well-paid career.
Yeah. So the barrier there was just she wasn't able to get the license that she needed to get a job, great intention there, but just a barrier.
Yeah, and with her being homeless with her kids, New Hope also was able to help find them affordable housing. And you mentioned earlier about the NAP program, which is Neighborhood Assistance Program. Specifically, right now, we have an opportunity with the SPP program, which is Special Program Priorities, that a business can make a charitable donation to New Hope and then receive a 90% tax credit that will fund New Hope's affordable housing program.
Right.
That program was just started last couple years.
That's right.
So, yeah.
And I have to tell you, Joel, just, don't steal our thunder, right?
can. that's a little setup, right?
No, that's right. That's right. No, we always say you can talk about anything you want to, but you have to do it in exactly the right order because if you don't, it messes me up, right? No, that's fine.
Yeah.
But no, these are, so there's an affordable housing element, right?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about, like you gave a story of someone who was homeless, actually. And, we've seen that before. A few weeks ago, we were talking with the folks from Joy to the Berg. I even forget what episode that is. We should look that up. But in any case, but Joy to the Berg gets involved in homelessness. Mm-hmm. And what we find, I think, sometimes when we look at that homeless issue is that things that we would just take for granted, once you get into a spot where you're homeless or if you're having a challenge in that direction, all of a sudden things that you took for granted before suddenly become big issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to help get in and stabilize that.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And that's part of some of our center managers, the role of the partnership New Hope has with wonderful local landlords to be able to provide to our guests affordable housing, so mm-hmm. that they're not, you know, charged an arm and a leg, and you know, all their money goes to their rent. So being able to have that piece, that affordable housing unit, and then we have staff that specifically work in our affordable housing program that will meet with the individuals and the families. So that's one of those barriers, obstacles that we're doing to help people with affordable housing.
That's right. Yeah. But you, where all does New Hope operate? I mean, because you mentioned homeless and mm-hmm. I mean, food issues, budgeting, and affordable housing.
Right.
But this, I mean, Joel, this is central Pennsylvania.
You know, right. New Hope, we have nine different operations. Our furthest southern operation is in Hanover, in Littlestown mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. And so there is poverty all around us. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we may not realize and think, okay, in central PA, is there poverty? But there is. Mm-hmm. There are stats that show 1 in 5 children in our local school system mm-hmm. are hungry. That anywhere from 15% to 20% of children in our local schools are part of the free and reduced lunch and breakfast program. Mm-hmm. So we know that there are families that are struggling financially, that are in poverty, that then are able to come to New Hope and receive the assistance. You know, we can just go around to anywhere in our local towns and see whether it is low-income housing or trailer parks or you know, areas where there are people that are struggling financially. You know,
Did you say 9 different locations?
We do, yes, 9. So here in near the Dillsburg, Mechanicsburg area, we have a center over in Enola. Mm-hmm. Our Redlands Center mm-hmm. is right near where West Shore School District Administrative Building is. We opened that center a couple years ago to serve people in northeastern York County. Mm-hmm. We also, Lemoyne is another area. Mm-hmm. So those are northern region, and then our 4 southern region centers that we have are in Dover, and I mentioned Hanover and Littlestown, and then New Oxford as well. So it just, we know in you know, from Mechanicsburg to Dillsburg and then all the way down to the Maryland border, last year we served over 30,000 individuals.
Wow.
Just in that area that just came through New Hope's doors.
Yeah, just in that area.
Yeah.
And when you say served, I mean, again, there's, it's a, you guys are kind of a link in a chain, if you will, on a journey.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And getting from point A to point B, because mm-hmm. once, as the woman that you mentioned, who is now, you know, a truck driver and yeah. Yeah. and her family has stability that it didn't have before.
Right.
And so you guys are really instrumental in helping those families go from, I guess, instability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite knowing what's coming next. And
right.
You're going from there to stability.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
putting things back together.
And New Hope believes so much in partnerships, right? Partnerships with the local churches, the local Protestant Catholic churches, mm-hmm. Individuals, Christians in our community that want to volunteer at New Hope or want to financially support New Hope.
Yeah.
Businesses that we partner with, school districts, mm-hmm. civic groups. There's a gamut of that partnership that we know we can't do this alone, and we can work with people and groups in our communities to best serve our guests to get them to a point where they're able to be self-sufficient.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation here. We've got to kind of button it or put a pin in it here. we do a weekly puzzler, and it is time for that weekly puzzler. Last week, I think our puzzler was the question, where does today come before yesterday? Where does today come before yesterday? The answer is in the dictionary. Today comes before yesterday in the dictionary. Okay, it falls under the dad jokes, but today's weekly puzzle is, or this week's puzzle is a lot of fun, I think. What do the numbers 11, 69, and 88 have in common? Again, what do the numbers 11, 69, and 88 have in common? Send your responses, if you think you know, to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer on the show next week. We have to take a quick break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, UHYF, AM 720.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help. Not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, where we are talking each week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Our guest today is Joel Giovannetti with New Hope Ministries. And, you know, we spent the last few minutes, Joel, talking about the just the ministry and the service that New Hope provides to folks who are homeless or maybe hit a rough patch between, an unexpected rough patch due to, layoffs, unemployment, or whatever the case might be. But you said you've been with New Hope Ministries for 20 years?
Well, a long time. Working since 2002. So what is that here? 22 years working at New Hope. First got connected with New Hope Ministries at the very young age of 17 years old. I was a first-year student at Messiah College. Mm-hmm. And I heard about New Hope Ministries, how they support and help children and families in need that mm-hmm. are in poverty. Yeah. And now,
You're at Messiah, what did you major in?
That leads to how I got to New Hope Ministries is I thought at that time that I really wanted to be a teacher, a math teacher. I always had a love for numbers, for math. And it was within that first year of volunteering at New Hope Ministries mm-hmm. that I ended up switching majors eventually to what is human development and family science. But in between being a math major and human development and sciences, I was actually an accounting major and thought, that would be great to be a CPA and in my young mind, impress my make tons of money and support people in that way. But it was really that first year volunteering at New Hope that led me into a different major to kind of understand what are some of the basic human needs around us, like hunger,
right? Yeah.
And help being able to help families.
Yeah, I heard one time that accountants don't ever really retire; they just get more and more out of balance.
At New Hope, we love when there are retired accountants that come and volunteer at New Hope to help our guests to budget their money. Yeah. So we have wonderful CPAs that volunteer at New Hope.
Yeah. But so you were on this career path, but you decided to take a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, and to even, go before my time at Messiah College, I myself was a child that grew up in poverty. Mm-hmm. So not in this area, but in Southern Virginia, my father was a self-employed painter, and at times we really struggled mm-hmm. Financially. And I was in middle school, James, when my father hurt his back and mm-hmm. he couldn't work. And that was our sole income.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother ended up getting two jobs as a waitress. And we still struggle financially.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really through the support of our local church.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my two younger brothers, we are part of the free and reduced breakfast lunch program. So our school, you know, supported us. But it really, James, was when my mother felt inspired and led to get her degree as a teacher.
Yeah.
That in the later part of my mid to high school years helped my family out. And by that time, my father had become healed and it was able to work again.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just that my mom got a job as a waitress. That mm-hmm. that didn't help us. It was mm-hmm. the fact that she got involved in a career mm-hmm. as a teacher,
as a teacher.
Steady income that helped our family to be able to be stable.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think that really, God really stirred in my heart when it came to Messiah. And even that was a great opportunity where we couldn't afford for me to go to university, to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
It was through scholarships. It was through grants. It was through my church support. Individuals in my community that really supported my family financially so that I could go to Messiah. So looking back and seeing that path that God had me on, that, yes, at the time, it wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't fun. It was a struggle, right, for any family that's in poverty. But seeing how God stirred in my heart years later to then lead me to New Hope Ministries
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
help children, to help families that were in my situation,
right.
like when I was a child.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So at the ripe old age of 17 or 18, you made a career choice.
Oh my gosh. You know, I knew once I got connected with New Hope that I would be connected with New Hope the rest of my life.
Right,
and I didn't
right.
know, you know, what exactly that would look like. But I knew by choosing that major, human development and family science,
mm-hmm.
And then continuing to volunteer at New Hope, it then led me in 2002 to start working at New Hope. I had volunteered from 1994 up until 2002 in the
mm-hmm.
youth program.
Mm-hmm.
And then opportunity arose over in the town of Dillsburg through New Hope to run youth programs.
Okay.
And did that for a couple years. And there was opportunity to be a director
right.
of New Hope's youth programs as we were growing and expanding
mm-hmm.
and a lot of new communities starting in New Hope to be able to help families. So yeah, it was 2002 up until 18. So, you know, 16 years worked in youth ministry, youth programs.
Yeah.
And then I would say, yeah, 2018, after working at New Hope for many years,
mm-hmm.
New Hope's executive director, Eric Saunders, New Hope's director of development, Molly Helmstetter, had approached me and said, you know, we have an opening in our development department as
mm-hmm.
a gift officer
mm-hmm.
to work in fundraising. He said, Joel, you love the Lord. You want to see people helped.
Mm-hmm.
You've been connected in, you know, our local communities for a long time. We think this would just be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
they saw something in me, and God led them to say that to me, that then, even at that moment, I was able to start working in development as a fundraiser. And
right.
using all those community relationships and community connections
mm-hmm.
and giving individuals and churches and businesses and civic groups an opportunity to volunteer at New Hope, get connected,
mm-hmm.
but then ultimately to use the resources that God's given them financially
right.
to contribute to New Hope.
That's right, yeah. And that's, you know, again, we talk about that so much here on Money and Mission about
mm-hmm.
how dollars really, you know, when they leave our checkbook, when
yeah.
they leave our pocket, so to speak, dollars go somewhere and they have an impact.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
whether it's volunteering, which sort of represents your time and your ability to earn, or whether it's actual dollars,
mm-hmm.
it does. You know, how most of the people, so there are employees at New Hope, and then there's people who come to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you say a lot of those people are that you mentioned, churches, civic groups? Do a lot of churches really like send people get involved the church connection that?
In New Hope, we're at a point, I mentioned our 9 centers. We have, I believe, close to 50 staff. But annually, thousands mm-hmm. and thousands of volunteers that give of their time.
Right.
So the local churches in our area, there's individuals from those churches that come and volunteer. And we have a lot of people that have retired and now have more time, you mm-hmm. know, to give. And so they come to New Hope and they volunteer. And a lot of it also is based on their expertise and their backgrounds. I mentioned earlier about, you know, CPAs that have retired and now can help people with budgeting. They're like, we have people that work in the corporate world and, you know, end up serving on New Hope's board. We have 15 board members. Mm-hmm. We have teachers that have retired that now come back and help. You know, I haven't mentioned it yet, but New Hope has youth programs.
Sure.
So we help with our tutoring, our programs, helping kids with their homework. And, you know, one of our goals, yes, is to help people that are in crisis now get to the point where they're able to be self-sufficient. But we want to break that cycle of poverty mm-hmm. for children, right, mm-hmm. that are in poverty now to not be in poverty for the future. So,
that's right. But as a gift officer, you are driving around trying to find creative ways, right, sure. to help people give because and you know, we understand, right? Mm-hmm. We're in the financial business in our business, and we understand, you know, what it means to talk with people and help to find ideas, action steps that maybe they hadn't thought about before, right?
Sure.
And now you're in that business. So, you know, you wanted to be an accountant. Do you still enjoy numbers?
I do. I'm a huge baseball fan. I love sports. So, you know, I think maybe someday when I retire, I'd want to, you know, work for a sports team to be a statistician. So, yes, I still enjoy numbers very, very much so. And, you know, one thing I also want to say is just I carry these two verses around with me from the Bible that I'll mention that, you know, encourages me, hopefully encourages others to be able to generously give, mm-hmm. you know, from the Lord's, you know, heart to ours. Is the one is from Hebrews 13:16, which says, "Do good, remember that, and share what you have, for such things are pleasing to God." And then another verse that I think about often is from 2 Corinthians 9:7, which said, "God loves it when the giver delights in the giving."
Yeah, it's cheerful. That's right.
So the joyful, cheerful giving.
That's right. You know, the last couple of weeks we were talking about the eternity portfolio here on the podcast and how planning for the eternity piece of your financial plan, putting in good planning means that when you achieve it, there's joy because you've achieved what you've been intending to achieve. And this is just an awesome example, you know, of that. And here you are too, finding ministry and purpose in your vocation. Yeah. And I just want to remind our listeners that it really doesn't matter what business or what occupation you are in. Being able to find ministry and purpose in your vocation like that helps to align what you're doing in your money with the mission that God's given you as well.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got to take another break here. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. In a few minutes, we'll be back here with Joel Giovannetti. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Our guest today is Joel Giovannetti with New Hope Ministries, And the time is just flying by here, Joel. But you know, at the beginning of the show today, we talked about, we referenced that businesses can sort of double up, if you will, by getting a tax credit for their Pennsylvania state income taxes, right? Now, not every business. The things that we're going to mention here are very specific to sole proprietors.
Correct. Yep.
And sole proprietors could be people like real estate agents, insurance agents.
Absolutely.
Possibly insurance agents, small businesses who, if you own a business and you file a Schedule C with your tax return, then this is something that you should be paying attention to, right?
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
Partnerships as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
local banks as well.
Local banks as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Financial institutions as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're going to talk about that here, and because this is again, what a beautiful opportunity to get credit for charitable giving, to get credit for that on your state income tax return. So there are several programs, and I think. It's called, Pennsylvania calls them what, the Neighborhood Assistance Program?
Yeah, so the acronym, NAP, which is for Neighborhood Assistance Program. And it's through DCED, right, which is the Department of Economic Development.
Right, Pennsylvania Department of Economic Development.
Yep.
Pennsylvania,
DC. So Department of Community.
Community.
Sorry, I didn't mention that. Community and Economic Development.
You
got to
love all those little acronyms,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know, right. Yeah.
DCD,
yeah.
NAP.
Yeah,
How would you make an acronym out of the Neighborhood Partnership Program? I mean, that'll be, the first one's kind of easy, NAP.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
If it's just NPP, like how would you do that?
We just did it, right?
We just did it. But it would be hard to say.
Yeah, okay. And you know, to kind of give a little bit of backstory, James, is this was a program that, you know, going back now maybe 12, 13 years ago that our executive director heard about. It's kind of just a little known secret, right, that businesses, sole proprietors, could make a charitable donation to New Hope Ministries, mm-hmm. and then receive a certain percentage tax credit. And the interesting thing is the tax credit has increased over the years. I remember when I was first started in my position at New Hope, that it was for the charitable, which is on here, charitable food program. If a business, a sole proprietor wants to support our food program, right, to be able to help feed people. At one point, it was a 55% tax credit.
So
it is now,
Let's just kind of stop right there.
Mm.
So when we say a 55% tax credit, so that means, for example, let's pretend that, you know, as a business owner, a partnership would gift to New Hope Ministries, if that business would gift, say, $10,000.
Yeah, and they would get back.
And it was a 55% tax.
55% of that total.
Credit, that's right. Then on their Pennsylvania state income tax return, they would get a credit of 55% of their gift
back
towards, right.
Yeah.
So if you have a small business owner who has a state income tax due of $5,500, in the scenario that we just discussed here, if $10,000 was gifted to New Hope Ministries, they would have actually satisfied their Pennsylvania state income tax liability.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, what a blessing. You know, we know it's hard for small businesses, you know, sometimes to, you know, to take care of themselves, take care of their family. And we have so many just generous small businesses that have blessed and supported New Hope through the CFP, the Charitable Food Program, because mm-hmm. they have a heart for the Lord and they want to give back. And so being able to, you know, because sometimes we've actually had businesses that have made a donation and hadn't been a part of the CFP program, and let them know, you can receive that now, that tax credit, which was 55%. this past year, it was raised to 65%. So they get even more money back.
Yeah. And so it seems like the credit amount changes maybe from year to year.
It has, depending
mm-hmm. on like budget priorities at the Commonwealth or something like that.
I believe so.
So, yeah. You know, so if you're a business, if you're a sole proprietor or a partnership, right? This really doesn't work for corporations, mm-hmm. but or a bank, a community bank, right? Or any bank.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what size. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but specifically, you know, if you are a self-employed individual like that or a partnership in a business, then if you want to include and incorporate charitable giving like that into your overall planning, mm-hmm. really check in on this charitable food program, neighborhood assistance, and so on and so forth. Joel, New Hope Ministries has a website?
We do. Yes. I mean, you can Google New Hope Ministries, but specifically it is nhm-pa.org. Again, nhm-pa.org. So the NHM is for New Hope Ministries and then PA for Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, the Neighborhood Assistance Program and these other programs, the special program priorities, the charitable food program. I mean, this is not unique to New Hope Ministries, right? Pennsylvania has, you know, I mean, they make this available to qualifying charities.
Yes. So, you know, New Hope, right, is one of many nonprofits that can apply mm-hmm. to be a part of this program, which we've been doing for over a decade. And mm-hmm. every time we've applied, it's been approved to be able to receive funds from local businesses.
Right.
And then obviously those businesses would be able to get the tax credit. And one thing you said earlier, James, was, you know, we saw how a lot of businesses were already giving to New Hope, right? They've already had set into their budget mm-hmm. that they wanted to compassionately give, to give unto the Lord, to help others. And a lot of them were already doing that. And then when we started applying for this program, we were then able to go to these businesses and say, there's this program, you're already given to New Hope, and you'll be able to get tax credit. And in some cases, those businesses even increased their giving.
Increased the amount of giving that they mm-hmm. were doing. Yeah. And so really, you know, again, this neighborhood assistance program, this charitable food program, these are really specific tools.
Yes.
And you know, we talk on the podcast here all the time about principles and concepts. Now, here is a really, really specific tool. And working this into, again, if you're a business, working it into your budget, planning to incorporate this into your budget. If you're not sure, you know, how to do that, talk to your CPA. Get make sure that, and if your CPA is not familiar, New Hope has, you've got some CPAs on your board.
You know,
too.
I was just thinking as you're talking about that, on our board, we have just, wonderful CPAs that are able to, the terminology, right, the language, and mm-hmm. there are numerous businesses that I've talked to that have some maybe specific tax questions that I'm not qualified to answer,
sure.
that we've had board members that are CPAs that are just welcome the opportunity to be able to talk to those business owners.
That's right. Now, do you know, and this is maybe a little bit tangential, I'm not sure, but do you know, do other states have these kinds of programs as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have one of my brothers is a business owner in Georgia. I've not heard him say anything about this. They may or may not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, specific to Pennsylvania is what I know for this.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you ever complain about the state of Pennsylvania, this is something to be very thankful for, right?
Absolutely.
Because really, you know, tax credit programs like this and state budgets are developed by the state legislature, and the state legislature is just made up of people. And when people who have a heart for God, you know, are in mm-hmm. positions to have influence like that, then there's opportunities to be making things happen. So, you know, for our listeners, I didn't plan to say this, but, you know, pray for your legislatures. Yeah. It's easy to complain about politics and everything, but we really need to be, we need to be thankful for people in positions of influence who sit down and think about and create programs like this, which then make a playing field so that, you know, the citizenry, if you will, you know, that we have these opportunities to make our dollars go go even further. Well, I think we have only, you know, about a minute and a half left. Is there anything that you really just kind of like to leave with our listeners and, you know, in the last minute or so that we have?
Yeah, you know, we always welcome any individuals that would like to come see a New Hope Center to stop on by. You're certainly welcome to reach out to me. You know, you can call New Hope. Our phone number is 717-432-2087. Like I mentioned before, we have centers in, you know, our local area, Mechanicsburg, Enola, Lemoyne, Dillsburg, Dover, Goldsboro, that area. You know, we'd love to be able to give tours, and if someone comes to New Hope, they would see all the individuals, all the guests that are served.
Right.
And we find that a lot of times people, when they come through our doors, then they want to get connected. They want to volunteer. They want to make a difference, right? They want to have that sense of purpose. So we would just welcome anybody to come to New Hope, anybody to reach out to me if you want to volunteer, if you're interested in making a charitable gift, food donations as well too.
Right.
Those.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. You know, I really appreciate you joining us, you know, here on the podcast, and I hope we can have you back.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, that's
I would
right.
Like that.
And we do like keeping in touch with the folks that we've had here as guests, but we are out of time. All of a sudden, we're at the end of the segment here. You are listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. Have a blessed week.